So we are on week 4 of our Galatians sermon series. And I'd like to just start in saying welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. My name is Pastor Mike. I'm glad you chose to join us today. And it is my honor to bring you the Word of God this morning. As we are in week 4 of our Galatians sermon series, we've covered several things. So far we have covered our awareness of false teachers that place obstacles in our path. Faith in Jesus alone brings salvation. And last week we talked about God's promises and how He never fails to fulfill His word. That we have the promise of eternal hope. And we celebrated that this morning with communion. Today, we're looking at how God made a way for us to be members of His family. Everyone should have a paper that was handed to them by one of the kids this morning that says benefits of adoption. Our adoption brings us freedom and many benefits, and we're going to look at those today. And as we get ready to go there, if you have a Bible, and I hope you or someone around you does that you can look on with, let me invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And I will be in the ESV this morning. We'll also have it on the overhead here in a minute. But while you're turning there, I want to share this story from one of my favorite books. It's about adoption. And if you're interested in this book, I would highly recommend that you read it. It's kind of a two-part series. It's by David Platt. And the first one is Radical. The follow-up to it is Follow Me, A Call to Die, A Call to Live. And this is where this story comes from. And this is a picture of God's gracious to us to be His children. Throughout Scripture, God uses the picture of adoption to describe His relationship with His people. This picture became all the more poignant for my wife, Heather, and me. My wife's name, not Heather, so I'm talking about, this is David Platt, right? When we chose to adopt our first son, we began the process by deciding on the place from which we might adopt. We put a map of the world on the table and we prayed, Lord, direct us to the child that you desire for us. He led us to adopt from the country of Kazakhstan. I barely knew Kazakhstan existed before this process, but after months of praying, we submitted our application to adopt a Kazakh child. The parallels between Caleb's story, Caleb is their son's name, the parallels between Caleb's story and the God story are many. But I want to point out one that is particularly significant. Adoption like this begins with the parent's initiative, not a child's idea. Before Caleb was even born in Kazakhstan, he had a mom and a dad working to adopt him. While Caleb was laying alone at night in an orphanage in Kazakhstan, he had a mom and dad planning to adopt him. And one day when Caleb was placed in the arms of his mom and dad, he had no idea all that had been done completely apart from any initiative in him to bring him to that point. This precious 10-month-old boy did not invite us to come to him in Kazakhstan to bring him into our family. He didn't even know to ask for such a thing. No, this orphan child became our cherished son because of a love that was entirely beyond his imagination and completely outside of his control. He did not pursue us, for he was utterly unable to do so. Instead, we pursued him. Church, we are utterly unable to pursue God. He pursued us first. He has adopted us into his family as sons and daughters, making us co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Let's get to our scripture this morning. Galatians chapter 4, 1 through 7. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Well, technical difficulty, I'm sorry. Paul also shares a similar message in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. He says this, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him." What Paul is doing in these scriptures, he is convincing specifically the Galatians. He's convincing the Galatians of their folly. What have we talked about the last few weeks? That the false teachers came in and tried to put them under the burden of the law. They tried to say they had to follow certain things and do certain things. And it was actually pulling believers away from the good news and placing them under the Jewish law that was no more. So he was convincing the Galatians of their folly, of believing the false teachers. And Paul's goal here was to rectify and bring them out of the bondage of the law. Church, we are not slaves under a master, but we are sons and daughters of God Most High. As I was writing this, I reflected back to my early years as a Christian, as a new believer. And there was times... Have you ever found yourself saying, "Am I actually a Christian?" When you were early on, like, did you ever say, "Am I really a Christian?" Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. I struggled with it because I didn't think I could be. Because, I wondered if I could, how could I still sin? Right? If I still had the old nature pulling me to want to sin. And the question comes up, the question that Satan likes to pose to you is, why would Christ die for you when you are still evil and sinful? If that's who I was, how could I be allowed to call God my daddy? And I know that might be hard for some of you to hear because we're super masculine, but God's your daddy. He's your Abba Father. He's your daddy. And I didn't think we had that type of relationship because He's way holier than I ever will be. I felt like I was a child caught in a continuous lie. Have you ever told so many lies as a child that you couldn't keep your lie straight and pretty soon your first lie caught you for the second lie? I have, right? So I felt like a child caught in a continuous lie where I had to hang my head because I was full of shame because I wasn't good enough. I found myself continually asking for forgiveness for the same thing over and over and over again. And do you know that Satan would prefer that all of us stay in that stage? He doesn't want us to leave that stage because it makes us weak. It makes us ineffective as believers. If we don't understand who we are and whose we are, how can we be effective in building the kingdom of God? How can I share the good news if I'm not even sure it's good news yet? Because I haven't seen all the changes. I know my heart's been changed, but my actions haven't followed yet. Because by rights of the law, I wasn't. Who knows that when Jesus came, the law was fulfilled. We're not to be under burden of the law anymore. Church, there is freedom in Christ that you don't understand unless you're in Christ. There was a moment, would have been in 2009, there was a moment at this altar, we used to come in here, the young adults, we used to come in here and pray a couple nights a week as a group. And I remember coming in here and I was praying and kind of struggling with this very thing. And that night God spoke to me and He helped me to understand the freedom and the standing I had with Him through Christ. It wasn't one to be full of shame, but it was one to be filled with confidence, to be confident in who I am and whose I am. He removed the burden. He removed the chains of the law. He removed all the junk of my past life. Anybody in here have a past life before Jesus? Were you born a Christian? So everybody in here, right? Every single one of us have a past life. And we've made choices in our past life that if we could go back, we would probably not do again, right? God says it's gone. I've forgotten it. I have forgiven it. It doesn't matter. We talked about Moses this morning in Sunday school. What did Moses do before he went to the desert to be a shepherd for 40 years? He killed an Egyptian. I don't have that on my rap sheet. So if God can use him, he can use me. He can use you, right? It doesn't matter what our past life is. God doesn't want us walking around as slaves, but rather he wants us walking around as his children. Paul was reminding the Galatians that they were children, that they weren't objects, they weren't slaves, they didn't have to uphold law, but they had to have a relationship with Jesus. And church, this morning, I believe God wants all of us to know he calls you his child. You are his child. You are free from sin, and he has forgiven you. And he wants you to start acting like you've been forgiven. If we don't actually understand that we've been forgiven, how do we walk in freedom of knowing we're forgiven? When we accept that we are his children, we have amazing things that come with calling God our Heavenly Father. We have amazing things that happen when we can call him Abba Father, Daddy. And I'll explain that here in a little bit. I gave everybody, you should have a paper in front of you. There are seven benefits to adoption. And these are what I will call seven truths of what happened when we step into a relationship with Jesus. The first one is security. When I talk about security, I compare it this way. An employee or a servant obeys out of fear of punishment, right? If you have a job, you don't do your job, what happens? Bye-bye, you've been fired, right? Job loss, punishment. On the other hand, for parents that have children or grandparents that have kids and grandkids, a child-parent relationship is not marked on the apprehension of losing something. You're not afraid of losing anything in that relationship. Our relationship with God is that relationship, the child-parent relationship. Because our relationship with God cannot be lost or taken away from by anybody. Now, we can walk away. You can walk away from a child-parent relationship. I pray you don't. But you're the only one that can walk away from that relationship. Nobody can steal or take that relationship away from you. Once we are children of God and we maintain our relationship, it's our job to maintain that relationship. We have the security of knowing God as our Heavenly Father. So if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, you are a child of God and He is your Heavenly Father. The second truth that comes is authority. Do slaves have power in a home? Do slaves carry any authority? No. They can only do what they are told to do. Children, however, have authority in the home. Now, maybe they have more authority than they ought to, but they have authority. Children have authority. But they are not to be seen as servants. We, as God's children, we have power, we have dominion over sin and evil. We have authority. When we go about our life in the world, what's one thing we can know? That it's God's. He has the whole thing. It's His world, it's His creation, it's His doing, it's all His. And if we can walk around knowing that it belongs to the Father, we should be able to walk around and project confidence and poise because we're children of God. We have authority in this world. The honor of the family name is bestowed upon their children. My kids' last name is Linder. I remember side note here. So my parents had two kids, one boy, one girl. The joke was that it was up to me to make sure that our segment of the family tree continued to go. I have two boys. The lender name is going to move on, and it's no longer my burden to carry. But if you have all girls, that family name goes away, right? It's still there, but it's not the last name that your kids are walking around with, right? So it was, we get that name bestowed because we become children of God. So we as believers, we've received a wonderful, lovely new name, and that's children of God. That we get to call him Abba Father. We are children, and we got to walk around with his name as our name. The third one is intimacy. This is where we get a little weird by calling God Daddy, because how do we approach God with all reverence and honor? We should call him Father, right? Heavenly Father, that's a respectful. But instead he says, I'm your daddy. And this is the intimacy that we're talking about. Abba was an Aramaic term best translated as daddy. A term of the most incredible intimacy. A child usually doesn't address their father as father. First thing that we taught our boys to say was mommy and daddy. I'd like to think everybody else in here taught him that as well, not father, right? A child usually doesn't address his father. They refer to him in a name that reflects their loving, trusting relationship with him, such as dad, papa, or daddy, right? And this is how Christians can approach the all-powerful creator of the universe, who holds every atom alive moment by moment. We get to approach him as dad, daddy, papa. Because there's that relationship. When we become children of God, we have the right and we have the honor of calling God Abba. Abba Father. Because he becomes our heavenly Father. The fourth one is similar to the intimacy, but it's the assurance. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When we become children of God, our life starts changing and growing. As I continue to work out my relationship and understand and gain knowledge and know who God was, a moving message that made me want to respond. But as I started to actually build that relationship, I started seeing those changes happen in my life. And our assurance of being children of God is because he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit into our lives, and the Spirit cries with us, Abba, Father. We receive the Holy Spirit as a mark of his children. When we become his, we receive the Holy Spirit. When we call out to God as Abba, the Holy Spirit comes beside us and assures us that we are members of God's family. All of these bits of proof lead us to trust that we indeed are his children. This is where we can gain the assurance to know that whose we are is God's, and who we are is a child of God. This is our assurance. The fifth one is inheritance. When we think about inheritance, when we look at older, or when we look at, just look at what the Bible, the inheritance went to the oldest child. They got the lion's share. They got the mass majority of the family's wealth. And they were the ones that were really kind of tasked with taking on the family name and making sure that their name had a place in history. So if we have an inheritance with God, this indicates a tremendous future. It didn't matter how many children the home had back then. It was always the first one. But in God's home, it's everyone. It's everyone. The oldest got the largest share of the wealth, And this is how the family kept its power intact rather than having it divided, dissipated, and eventually going away. In a stunning shift, we see Paul introduce here what he refers to as all Christians as heirs of God. And this is a miracle because an heir got the share of the parents' wealth. And Paul emphasizes here that what is in store for us is so large, so unimaginable that we can't even begin to understand, and so glorious that we get the significant share of the glory of God. Each one of us. If we are children of God, we receive His inheritance. Discipline is number 6. By the way, I don't normally do 7-point sermons. This could have been a 7-week series that I went into. But I felt like we would just hit them and I'd hand these out so you can keep this. You can use this as a bookmark and you can understand the benefits and the truth that you have as a child of God in your life. Discipline. Who likes the word discipline? As fathers and mothers, we are responsible for disciplining our children, aren't we? If we don't discipline our children, we all know. I don't need to say it. We all know. When parents discipline their children, they allow or they introduce a milder type of pain to teach or develop the child from conduct that will result in much greater pain later. So we want to reduce those choices later. And a good father will discipline his children with love. That's the key right there, is with love. A good father will not abuse his power to satisfy his desire to feel powerful or in control over that child. But he will not be so desperate for his child's love and acceptance that he never undertakes his responsibility to be the discipliner. It's a fine line to walk, isn't it? It is a painful privilege to be disciplined by the universe's most loving Father. And I point to this with Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good. He being God the Father. He disciplines us for our good that we may share in His holiness. It is God's goal to see us be holy because He is holy. Lastly, our family likeness. Church, I think it's important that you know, as Christians, we will suffer. We will suffer. Not just in the miseries of this world that everyone experiences, because I think we can all say we've had a bad week, bad day, bad year, bad life, right? But precisely, you will suffer because you are Christ's brothers and sisters, because you share in the family name of Jesus Christ. Because of He being Jesus, because of Jesus was and became, He came to reveal sinfulness, right? He came to reveal judgment, that judgment was coming, to offer salvation through Himself. Christ faced rejection. Christ faced a lot of tough things in doing this. And if you've ever been told that becoming a Christian is the easiest thing, it is the easiest thing when you look at it, hindsight 20/20. But sometimes in that moment, with what you're going through, we will suffer. Why? Because we still live in a broken world. Until Jesus comes and takes His church and the new heaven and the new earth are created, we have suffering and pain on this earth. We will endure it. It will happen. We will face it. And we have to be ready to walk through it. Because Christ faced it, His family will also suffer as they live for Him and speak about Him. We can be like Him God works in us and through our circumstances. He's in us. He's working. He's challenging us. He's given us opportunities to tell others about Him. Romans 8:29 says, "Be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." It is our job to share the message of Jesus Christ so others can be adopted into His family. And I love this. Even though we are adopted, even though we aren't Jews, we weren't the promised chosen people, we're adopted. God truly implants Christ's nature in us. As God's sons and daughters, we begin to resemble the Son of God. The longer you're a Christian, the more you should look like Jesus. The more your responses, your actions, the way you do things should look more like Jesus. As we carry the familiar likeness of suffering, our characters and attitudes become more and more like God and that of our Father. This is why, as Christians, we should view persecution and consider it a privilege. Because we can be like Him. Now, here's what we need to know. God didn't adopt us on a whim. It wasn't an if. It wasn't, gee, I don't know if I should. From the list that we just went through, we know that He was very intentional on His adoption of us. We have many benefits. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says this: God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. We're children of God. We are children of God. Joel, if you want to come on up. It brings God great pleasure to adopt us. It brings God great pleasure when somebody repents and comes into a relationship with Him. You know that God wants to adopt everyone. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to reject Him. And it's our responsibility, our part of that relationship, it is our responsibility to go and tell others. What is this? The Great Commission. The great commandment is to love. And I believe, church, and I hope that you'll join me in believing for this. And let me just share it. I believe for a day, not a single day, but a day to come. I believe for a day to come that God adopts all of New Sharon. Because we have committed ourselves to engaging our community for Jesus. Things like our trunk or treat, things like our ladies' brunch, quite frankly, things like our BGMC beard challenge. Do you know that there's people not going to our church who have heard about this challenge and have asked others about it? What we are doing is planting seeds for the kingdom of God to grow and to be harvested because of what we are agreeing to do and how we are moving about to engage our community for Jesus. So, church, I would just ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads. And I've got to ask you a question this morning. And it's very simple. Are you a child of God? Have you asked for forgiveness and recognized the need in your heart for Jesus? The Bible tells us in Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It is at that moment that you become a child of God. It is that moment that you are adopted into His family. So whether this is in a new way or a fresh way, God is ready to receive you. There's nothing you have to do prior. You don't have to go and beat your body up and abuse it to not sin anymore. He says, come to me. And I will give you rest. We don't have to be perfect before we come to Christ. He makes us perfect. So whether this is in a new way or a fresh way, God is ready to receive you. He's ready to adopt you. And He's ready to become your Abba Father. He's ready to become your daddy. So with eyes closed, heads bowed, if that's you this morning, if you've never asked Jesus into your life, if you've done it, but you've chosen to walk away or not focus on it, and you've kind of lost your way, this can be in a fresh way. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? Church, I would like for you to join me in this prayer this morning. Dear Jesus, thank you for the work of the cross. I believe that you died and rose again. And I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. Adopt me into your family that I may become a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want you to know, and we had one person raise their hand this morning, and praise God. Here's what I want everyone to know. Nobody can take that relationship between you and God away. They can't touch it. So what you do with it is on you. In that, are you ready to pursue God? Or are we ready to continue to hold Him at arm's length? And I would just encourage you, cry out to Him, Abba Father. When we take one step, He comes running towards us. He is ready to receive you. He has marked you for this time and this purpose in your life. And He has a plan for you. So be encouraged. Take heart. Know that you are a child of God. And as we close today, I've got a little bit of a challenge for us today. And I want to ask you, on that list that I handed you this morning, are you missing out on any of these benefits that we call benefits of adoption? Is your relationship with God very face value? Oh, we've come to terms. I come to church when I want. My dad used to say that all the time, so that's why I say that. Tell me that he has an agreement with God. Here's the only agreement with God. That you are in a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. There's not an agreement that's going to be made otherwise. It doesn't happen. Do you have a relationship where it feels like a slave to a master? Or are there things in your life that you need to let go of? Things that you need to say, God, you need to take this. I can't do this anymore because it's keeping me from walking in the freedom of being called your child. We miss out on the intimacy with God. We miss out on being able to call Him Abba Father when we allow our past to shame and beat us down. When God becomes our Heavenly Father, He forgives our sins once and for all. It's done, it's finished, it's complete. He remembers no more, and He wants us to start walking in that confidence. So here's the challenge today. Today's the day to let all of that go. Today's the day that we come to the altar. Honestly, I don't want to make this where God's presence is, because His presence is amongst all of us. But there's something about stepping up to that altar and saying, God, I need your help. I need your help to let go of my past. I need your help to let go of this shame. I need your help to understand whose I am and who I am. And I promise when we approach and have a humble heart before Him, He is ready to work in our lives. So as the worship team leads us in a closing song, I would just encourage you, approach the altar this morning. Spend some time And you know what? Maybe you've never prayed in your life. Let me tell you how to start. Daddy, I need you. He'll take care of the rest. Amen?